Let me invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 119, Psalm chapter 119. That's where we're going to begin today, talking about the irreplaceable benefits of Scripture memorization, the irreplaceable benefits of Scripture memorization. My very first year in vocational ministry, I was the youth minister at this church in Mississippi. Turns out it was the only church that was willing to accept me as their youth minister. I got turned down so many times before they called me. So I started this youth ministry position, and I had this incredible idea. It was such a good idea. The first summer in student ministry, I came up with this idea called Journey in July, and the goal, one of the objectives was to plan an activity every single day for a month with the youth group. It was such a terrible idea. I realize now, looking back, like that was the amount of wisdom that I lacked to implement something like that was astonishing. I mean, you got to build in some time off and think about like every day with teenagers. Could you imagine? Right, our middle school teachers are like, yeah, we live it. So every day we had an activity, and it wasn't like every day we were going to a water park or things like that. Some days we just got together and played dodgeball. You know, other days we got together and just hung out, and we'd spend some time in the Word. But one of the things that we did every single week that I didn't realize then would have such an impact today was every Thursday, I gave them a passage of Scripture and challenged them to memorize that verse in one day. So every Thursday, we had a verse of Scripture, and I didn't realize then what I've discovered today is that God still, over 15 years later, 16 years later, God still uses those verses of Scripture that I also memorized in a day. He still uses those in my life every single day. We're embarking on a journey as a church called Shaped by Scripture. This year, one of our church goals is to memorize God's Word. And I'm inviting you, it's not mandatory. You won't be kicked out of the church if you don't do it. But I'm inviting you to join us. We've written a material called Shaped by Scripture that's being published in 12 parts throughout the course of this year. And it's a material that we would invite you, if you're interested in growing closer to the Lord and in Christ's likeness, we would invite you to join this. And each week we're going to have a Bible verse, and we're going to challenge you through the course of the week to memorize the Bible verse and to grow in your understanding of it. And so there's 5 days of material for you to not only know the verse, but to understand the verse and then to begin practicing memorizing the verse. And then on Sundays, we'll preach through this passage, and we're going to talk today about the benefits of Scripture memorization. But I'm telling you, this is going to change your life. Some people will say, I just can't remember Scripture. There's no way I can do it. Listen, friends, if you get through this year and you have memorized all 52 verses, we're going to celebrate you. Well, it's only 50 verses, actually. We take 2 weeks off, right? Everybody needs a vacation. You walk through this year and you memorize all of them. Some of you are going to do that. You're going to nail it. And I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to be so pumped with you. And then there's going to be others of you that you're going to struggle to get some words of one of the verses across the entire year. And you know what? I'm going to celebrate with you, because whether you've memorized all 50 perfectly or barely grasped one, you will have successfully memorized more of Scripture in 2026 than you did in 2025. And it's worth celebrating. Right, like you will walk away with more than what you had walking into this year if you'll try at all. So we've got this material at all of the worship center exits. There is a copy of the first installation that will begin tomorrow is the start date. There's a copy of that at each of the exits. If you need a large print version, go to the Connection Center. They have a copy that's in large print. If you want a digital copy because you're like, you know what, I'm just not going to carry this around and I'm not going to read it, but if I had it on my phone or on my iPad, you can visit the church website or you can visit the church app and download a digital copy. If you're like, you know what, I'm just not going to read it, but I'm interested if somebody would read it to me, that might appeal to me. Well, good news. We're going to have somebody read it to you every single day through the church app. We'll have an audio file on the podcast channel. The Shaped by Scripture podcast channel that we've created, there is a daily distribution of that day's entry. So you're like, I just want to listen to it. Well, we will read it to you, and we'll be happy that you heard it. So we want to create a number of ways for you to access this information because we want to study God's word. I'm excited about what our children's ministry's done. We not only want to be disciples, but we want to make disciples. We want to equip you as families to make disciples. Our children's ministry team has done a great job. They've taken our curriculum, and they have created children's ministry curriculum. So parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone that has a child in their life, today your kids should receive something that looks like this. This is a child-appropriate, family-oriented version of our first theme, okay? So each week is one page instead of an extensive study. What this does is it provides for you, as the parent, the verse that your child will have so you can encourage them to know the verse, to know what it says. It provides some activities, right? Children learn not just through repetition, but through activity, so it gives you some suggested activities that you can use with your kids to help them understand the verse, to learn the verse, and it also provides daily conversation prompts. So if you're sitting down at the dinner table and you're like, okay, how do I even talk to my kids about this? Well, it gives you some questions that you can ask to help engage your children in what they're learning. And so I'm really excited about that. We want you to be equipped as parents. You are your child's primary disciple maker, and we want to equip you so that you can do so. Also, our children's ministry team put these together. These are flashcards for the year. Each family will get one of these if they didn't give your child one or you as a family one. Number one, ask your kid if they already lost it. Number two, if they didn't lose it but didn't receive one, you can visit our children's ministry area and they should be able to give you one. But each day, we have the monthly theme. January is going to be Money Matters, and we'll kick that off tomorrow and preach on it next week. And then the daily verse, and they go through this. And just in a really attractive way, they have these flashcards to remember God's word. These are fantastic. Matter of fact, they showed them to me before the service, and I was like, can I have one of those? Would you like one? Yeah, you got to have kids, okay? You need to have some kids. Talking about having kids, so on New Year's Eve, I got a text from one of our life groups. It was a selfie, and they said, hey, you want to come over? We're having a party, you know, missed you, blah, 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 blah. They're like, you want to come over? And I looked in the picture, and it was like half of the people in the picture were pregnant, and I was like, no thanks. I'm not drinking that water. Not happening. Not happening. No way. I've realized something. Okay, we're not even to the message yet. We're getting there. I've realized something. Man, I love babies. I need to tell you that. I love babies. There for a while, I was really trying to encourage my wife to give me 7 more of them. I thought 10 was a good number. And she's had 3, and I don't remember any of it being difficult. So I was like, what's the hesitation? So anyway, I love babies. I love church babies. We had a couple in the church, had a baby this past week. Judah Justice Henry is his name. You know, you're like, wow, that's pronounced. Well, his dad's like 6'7", so he's going to be, I know, what a mistake. I love church babies, but during this holiday season, like Thanksgiving to Christmas, you know what I've learned? This is just a recent discovery, it's confession time. I've learned that I love babies so, so much, especially the part where I can send them back to their own house. Like, just want to hug them and kiss on them, just eat them up, you know. And then when they have diapers, send them home. When they cry, send them away. We'll see you when it's cleared up. That's good. All right, let's get into God's word. What a segue. Good. Psalm chapter 19. We're looking at verses 9 through 16. So this is what I want to do this morning. I want to walk through verse by verse Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 through 16. I want to walk through this passage just verse by verse very quickly. And then I want to share with you 5 irreplaceable benefits to memorizing scripture, okay? So the intent of this sermon is to not only teach you about memorizing God's word, but to impress upon you the irreplaceable value of knowing God's word from a memorized standpoint, okay? So I want to impress upon you so that when we reach the end of the sermon, you'll say, how did I ever make it through life without having scripture memorized? or so that you'd get to the end of the service and say, I can't wait to jump into scripture memorization because I see the value that's been lacking in my life up to this point. So Psalm chapter 119, verses 9 through 16, quick context. Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. Each stanza, the longest chapter in the Bible, each stanza starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse in the Hebrew begins with that letter. The overarching theme of the whole psalm is delight in and dependence on the Lord's instruction, His law, His testimonies, His precepts, His statutes, His commands, and His word. All of these are the path of blessing and faithfulness. Now, this section, beginning in verse 9, it opens with this question: how can a young man keep his way pure? And we read God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. By the way, I didn't give my tech team this text because I was hoping that you would use your Bibles or your devices. It's really good to look in your Bible and to know your way around it. If you do not have a copy of God's word, if you don't have your own copy of God's word, let me encourage you to get one. And if you're like, I just can't get one, you visit that usher table behind the center camera or you visit our connection center and you say, hey, can I have a Bible? We will give you a Bible that you can keep. It is a commitment that we will make. We will give you a Bible. We've given out literally pallets of Bibles since I've been here, and we want to keep that up. The Lord has blessed us so much, the least we can do is give Bibles away. So if you don't have your own copy of God's word, but you want one that you can read and study and make your own, you visit one of those areas and we'll give you your own copy of God's word. Verse 11 again. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Lord, help us to know what you have said. In Jesus' name, amen. We start. We're just going to walk through this passage quickly. Verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. How can you keep yourself clean? I try to encourage young men, there's two things that you need to do in your life. You need to stay close to the Lord and you need to stay clean for the Lord. All right, brothers, ministers, if you want some principles to practice, stay close and stay clean. How can you keep yourself pure? By guarding it according to the word. Here's a great statement the Lord shared with me in my quiet time. If we guard the word in our hearts, the word will guard our hearts. If we guard the word will guard us. If we guard it, it will guard us. Verse 10, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. So we have in this word, we have a pairing of personal effort and divine provision. Personally, I will, with my whole heart, I will seek you. But I can't do it on my own. God, I need you to provide. I need you to provide. If we find a deficit, if we find a deficit in the church as far as disciples go, the deficiency is not the availability of disciples. The deficiency is in the quality of our disciples. Do we have men? Do we have women? Do we have teenagers that seek with their whole heart, with their entire life, to know God? Because if you want to be closer to the Lord, go after Him. Pursue Him. Seek Him. Strive for Him. What you'll discover, and Brother Jeff and Brother Bob, two of our most senior ministers on our staff, they'll say, if you take one step to the Lord before that foot hits the ground, you'll find out the Lord has already come to you. I mean, just go after the Lord. Strive after Him with everything that you have. Be abandoned for what the Lord has to offer and watch the Lord provide for you the help that you need. Verse 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've stored it up. Some of your translations will say stored. Some of your translations will say buried. Some of your translations will say I've treasured. I've treasured the word of God. I've stored up the word of God. I've buried it. The idea is that you are hoarding God's word. Are any of you hoarders? You know, like the show, The Hoarders, or do we have any of those? They never want to self-confess. It would be good for you to let at least me know so that I know when we go to a potluck not to eat anything that you bring. But, you know, to hoard is to collect and to keep it all together, to hide it, to bury it because of how valuable it is, because of the treasure that it is. The scripture says that if you'll take it, if you will hoard it, if you will bury it, if you'll treasure it, if you'll protect it, then what you're going to discover is that it will keep you from sinning against God. Here's a beauty about sin. Sin's not beautiful, but a beautiful bit of information. This past week, I wrote the chapter leading into Easter, and we're talking in the chapter that I wrote for Shaped by Scripture. We're talking about Isaiah 53:5. He was broken for our iniquities and our transgressions. Iniquities are the inward attitudes and toxic thoughts, the sinful inwardness that we have. Transgressions are the outward actions. So when it says transgressions and iniquities, they're not exactly the same. Transgressions are outward, iniquities are inward. When Jesus died for us, when his body was broken, when his blood was shed, he covered and dealt with both the external things and the internal things. He provided the substance that takes care of it all. God's word, listen, God's word will help us from sinning, from transgressing, or keeping the iniquity. God's word will help us. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Look at verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Blessed are you, God. I'm so excited to know who you are, God, but I need help. It's not just about informing the mind. It's about shaping the heart. God, help me to understand, not just to memorize. That's where we should be as a church. I pray that we as a church will not only memorize the words of God, but we would understand the word of God. What does he mean, and what does he want us to become? That's a goal. Verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. You see, sharing the word of God will secure the place of God in your heart. Sharing the word of God. You know, I'm inviting you to join me and our church in memorizing scripture. And there's going to be value in simply remembering the words in order and putting them in your heart. But if you really want to experience something that is substantive, commit yourselves to not only remembering the words, but commit yourself to sharing them with somebody. Listen, I can study God's word, and I do. I pray that you do too. I can read God's word. I can draw some observations. I can make some interpretations, and then I can apply the word to my life. But if you want to know what really motivates me to understand what's going on, is to put me on a pulpit with the responsibility of telling someone else. So if you study God's word, if you invest yourself in memorizing God's word with the understanding that you then need to share it with someone, I'm telling you, it's going to solidify that word in your heart. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. Number 14, verse 14. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. The psalmist is saying here very simply, I have fallen in love with your testimonies, with your words, a testimony, the truth about who you are, as much as in all riches. Do we value God's word as much as we should? Do we think about it? Do we hold it? Are we excited about it? Are we pursuing it? Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Spend time, think about the word. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. You know, to meditate, we've got to spend time with God's word. Listen, if you memorize it, but you don't meditate on it, you're missing it. The difference between legalism and relationship, legalist says you got to memorize God's word. But the relationship in grace says you get to memorize God's word because it's going to shape who you are. Listen, brother, sister, I'm not telling you you have to memorize God's word to love you. I'm not saying you have to memorize God's word for God to love you. What I am saying is that if you memorize God's word, you'll understand better how much he already loved you. But until you meditate on it, until you memorize it, you're missing the beauty of God's love for your life. I love the last part of that verse. He says this, he says, "And I fix my eyes on your ways." He meditated and then he fixes his eyes. You ever heard somebody say, it's kind of an older saying, "I've got eyes for them." Like, I remember when Carly and I started dating, I was in the ministry. She went to the church that I was serving at and she sang in the choir, and like, I had eyes for her. You know, for like those first few years, I don't remember any song we ever sang in church, but I remembered she was in the choir, right? Because like my eyes were, I was just like, I was fascinated. I was infatuated. I was fixated on her. I had eyes for her. You know why? Because I was in love. Like, I was head over heels. And the more time I spent with her, the more I fell in love with her. You know, with God's word, friends, the more time you spend with it, the more you'll fall in love with it. The more you meditate on it, the more you think about it, the more you'll have eyes for the word of God. Man, I hope we become a church that's got some eyes for the word of God. The last verse, "I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." What I love about the way the psalmist phrases his words as here is he says, "I will delight in your statutes and I will not forget your word." And so what he's saying is not "I have" or "I am," but he's communicating, "I am making the decision that this is what I will do. I will delight in your statutes. I'm committing myself to it. It's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen accidentally. It's going to happen intentionally. I will delight in your statutes and I will not forget your word." So we have to approach God's word. We have to accept God's word. We have to learn God's word. And then, listen to this, we have to work on God's word. Not work on it in the sense of you need to make it right, okay, that would be crazy, but work on it in the sense of we have to manage what we've remembered. We have to repolish it. We've got to rehearse it. We've got to rethink through it. If you memorize God's word but you never perform any maintenance on the memory you have, it's going to slip away. But friends, if you will make the decision, God will honor it. Now, let me share with you five benefits, irreplaceable benefits that scripture memorization brings to you. Now, these are points that I took from Donald Whitney's book on spiritual disciplines and made my own, okay? So someone might say, "I feel like I've heard these before," to which I'm saying, yeah, let me tell you where I got them, okay? Donald Whitney is a professor, conservative voice. He wrote a book on spiritual disciplines. Scripture memorization is a discipline. He provides these five benefits to scripture memory, which I've taken and adapted so that they're not my thoughts, but they are original thoughts. Does that make sense? Good. Okay. Number one, scripture memorization supplies spiritual power. Scripture memorization supplies the spiritual power. A Bible on the shelf may inform you, but a Bible in the heart empowers you. When God's word is memorized, it is immediately available for the Holy Spirit to use in moments of temptation, fear, and decision. Too many believers feel spiritually weak, not because God is absent, but because his word is absent from their inner life. Memorization places God's power within reach when you need it most. We've all faced situations where we have felt inadequate or weak or unprepared. What memorizing scripture does is it gives God the tools to use in your life. It brings to your arsenal the things that you need to empower you to get you through with it. So when we memorize God's word, what he does is it strengthens us and gives us spiritual power so that when we walk into situations that are beyond us, we're not limited. Memorization supplies spiritual power. Number two, memorization strengthens your faith. Faith is not sustained by feelings. It is sustained by truth recalled in real time. Faith is not sustained by feelings. It is sustained by truth recalled in real time. When scripture is hidden in the heart, it steadies the soul during doubt, suffering, and uncertainty. Without memorized truth, faith becomes reactive and fragile, easily shaken by circumstances and situations. How many of you know that if you lean all the time on your feelings, you are going to be in a mess? What the memorized scripture does is it fortifies your faith so that your faith can take precedent over your feelings. Number three, memorization prepares us for witnessing, evangelism, and counseling. Memorization prepares us for witnessing and counseling. In critical moments, people don't need opinions, they need God's word. In critical moments, people do not need opinions, they need God's word. They don't need opinions that are subjective, they need God's word that stood the test of scrutiny for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. If you're going to give someone something, give them something that's going to last. Give them something that's going to last, and God's word is what will last. And let me help you here if I can. So people oftentimes they'll come to me and they'll seek counsel or they'll seek advice, and I'm glad that they do so. I'm a pastor. Pastor means that he walks with people through situations. I rarely get to fix a situation, but I'm often privileged with being able to walk with someone through it. And that's my calling. That's my responsibility. That's my privilege, is walking with people through situations. And you, brothers and sisters, like as you mature in your faith, you will see more and more people drawn to you asking for counsel and insight. The more reasonable, stable, and mature you are in your faith, the more perceived of mature you'll be in other people's lives, and they'll begin seeking out counsel from you. They'll say, hey, what should I do about this? Now, sometimes people will come to you communicating a problem, and you'll know right off, okay, I need to give them some counsel. Other times people will come to you complaining about something. And let me just help you. When people complain, what they're doing is they're showing a critical heart. And because they're hurt, they're having trouble communicating. So view that complaint. Don't take it personal. Just view that complaint and say, okay, this person's asking for counsel. How can I walk them through this so that they can think sensibly enough to stop attacking people and start attacking a problem? Okay, so that's how we work through it. When you get to those situations, if you will give them God's word, let me share with you something that is so liberating. If you will share with them God's word versus your own opinion, suddenly you no longer have to carry the burden of it succeeding. See, if I give you my advice, now I'm responsible for making sure that it works the way that it's supposed to work. And if it doesn't go the way that I think it ought to go, suddenly I'm the one that's carrying the burden of it failing. And that's just too much to bear. If I tell you to do something and it doesn't pan out, whose fault is it? But if you give them God's word, watch this. If you give them God's word rather than your word, suddenly God is responsible for it working out. And if I give them God's word, I can say, listen, I'm giving you God's word with the best intention. I believe that this is the verse that gives us counsel and guidance in the situation. If they don't like it, they can take it up with the author. If they don't like it, they can take it up with the provider. And if it hasn't worked, it's not that it won't work, it's just that it hasn't shown yet, because God's word never returns void. Listen, when we memorize scripture, it equips us and prepares us for witnessing and for counseling. Number four, memorization positions us to receive God's guidance. Memorization positions us to receive God's guidance. God most often directs his people through the word he has already given. When scripture is stored in the heart, the Spirit uses it to shape decisions, to clarify direction, and to restrain foolish paths. Many struggle to discern God's will because they have not filled their minds with God's truth. Memorization aligns the heart with God's voice, making his guidance clearer and his paths wiser. Okay, let me throw a hypothetical out, okay? And I know that this is something that most all of us deal with. We face a fork in the road. We need to make a decision. We need help making that decision. And we're praying out, God, please guide me. Any of y'all been there before? If it's just me, just listen to my confession, bless me, and I'll go on my way. God, I just need to know, what do I do? What do I do right here? And we're like, Lord, just tell me. Y'all have been there, right? And then you start thinking it through. and you're really deliberately, diligently, you're seeking God. You're like, God, I want to know. God, I want to know. God, I want to know. God, I want to hear you. And then we work ourselves to this point where we're like, okay, I'm diligently seeking the Lord, and I've been at this for a while, and I'm starting to see different paths. And you're like, okay, I think that this is a path, but I think that this is the better path. Lord, help me distinguish between one or the other. And then you start thinking through it even more, and you're like, okay, God, I think I hear you, but now I'm having trouble distinguishing. Am I hearing you or am I hearing myself? What's the difference? What's the difference between my internal voice and your Holy Spirit's voice? Y'all ever been there? And then the Lord starts to give you some assurance, and you're like, okay, now is this all your voice, or is my bias and preferences starting to carry over into this? God, I'm now suddenly more confused than I was before I started praying. We want to know God's voice. I heard a preacher say it this way. Before we invest ourselves trying to discover God's unwritten will, we should invest ourselves in understanding God's written will. We spend so much time wanting to know what God hasn't said that we've missed spending the time knowing what God has already said. And I'll tell you, friends, when you seek to discover God's will or to understand God's will for your life, nothing He will guide you to do will ever contradict something He's already said to do. Never. So if you say, God, which direction do I go? And one of those directions contradicts anything in this book, it's not the right way. It's not the right way. But until you've memorized Scripture, what is God going to use in your mind and your heart to guide you? Scripture memorization is an irreplaceable way that God uses to guide you in life. Here's number five. Memorization transforms the inner life. You cannot meditate on what you do not remember. A transformed life, a transformed, sanctified, growing, maturing, sharpening life. None of that is possible unless you have memorized words to meditate on. Memorized Scripture becomes the raw material for deep reflection, prayer, and spiritual transformation. As verses are rehearsed, pondered, and prayed over, they reshape desires and renew the mind. Without memorization, meditation. Without memorization, meditation is shallow and sporadic, but with memorization, God's word steadily forms Christ-like character from the inside out. Why are we doing this? Like, why are we even investing in memorizing Scripture? I promise you, my past year would have been so much easier if I wouldn't have spent hours upon hours writing and writing and writing and writing. But so why are we doing this? Here's a few reasons. Let me share them with you. Number one, we're doing this because because I felt guilty that I didn't have enough Scripture memorized. And I thought, what better way to memorize Scripture than to invite 3,700 people to hold me accountable? So there's some motivation. The Lord led me and said, you know, Scott, if you're going to be one of my disciples, you really need to know more Scripture. And so that's one motivation. Number two, man, I want my kids and my family to know God's Word. I don't want them just to know about God's Word. I want them to know God's Word. Right, like when I was a kid, we had a program at the church my dad pastored called Bible Drills. Do any of y'all remember that? Y'all do, some of you? Just a show of hands. I want to know who remembers that, right? So like when you're going through it, you have a misunderstanding. Because when you're going through it, you think it's the goal of it is to drill you with the Bible, right? Like we are going to inflict as much pain and agony on you as possible using this book. When you're going through it. But then when you get out of it, you realize that it wasn't Bible drill as a verb, but it was more of an adjective. It was describing what you did. When you're going through it, you're like, this is what's happening to me. Then you get out of it and you're like, oh, that's not what they meant. Bible drill was a program where children's students were encouraged to memorize all the books of the Bible, and then you would learn passages, and then you would memorize verses, and then you would perform, or you would compete in these drills that tested your knowledge. I want my kids to know God's Word. I mean, I want them to have it. I want them to have an arsenal. Right now, I have the benefit of having all my babies in my house, and I can walk with them through situations, and I can guide them in conversations. But you know as well as I do that one day, that day is going to be gone, and all they're going to have is what I gave them, and I want them to be equipped, and I want your kids to be equipped too. I love babies. All the children in our church, I feel like they're mine. I go in the nursery and I just love on all of them, and I want all of them to have what I want mine to have. Number three, I want to be serious about disciple making. I don't want to just be a church or be a pastor that says, yeah, we believe in making disciples, and then we go on and live in our life. No, I want to be serious, and I want people to know that we're serious about being disciples who make disciples. I want to invest in matters that actually make a difference. I want people to know that we're really about disciple making. And friends, let me tell you what. I may be a pastor in this community, but the only people that I'm responsible to before the Lord are y'all. You, the quality of your disciple making. One day, I will stand before the Lord and he will say, what did you do with the people that I entrusted to you? Not what did you do with McCracken County? Not what did you do with the people outside of the church? What did you, Scott, what did you do with the people I called you to pastor? And I want to at least be able to say, I tried something. Did it work? You be the judge, Lord, but we tried something. I want us to be serious about it. But here's the final reason that, listen, we really need to invest in this. Because the goal of scripture memorization is godliness. Godliness. I want to be godly. I miss it more than I make it, but I want to be like God. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be set apart. I want to be holy. I want to live differently than the world. I want you to be godly. I want you to be edified and sanctified and built up. I want you to be stirred. I want you to be more like Christ today than you were yesterday. And scripture memorization will do that. And I want our families and the next generations to be godly. Listen, one day, either Jesus Christ will return or all of us will die and be somewhere else, and people will look back to how we were when we were here, and they'll say a number of things. They'll say, oh, that was a church that had a great season of growth. Oh, that was a church that gave away a lot of money to missionaries. Oh, that was a church that built an enormous building that nobody thought that they could build or to afford so that we could raise up a next generation of believers. They'll say those things, but one thing that I want them to say about us in this season is I want them to look back and say, those are people that strove to be godly. Those are people that committed themselves to live differently than everyone else because their commitment was to be like God, not like the world. Listen, that's a decision only you can make for yourself. That's a decision that only I can make for myself. But what I would like to extend to you today is an invitation. Would you commit yourself to memorizing scripture so that we together may become a more godly people? I can't make you do it, and I don't really want to. But I would invite you to understand the irreplaceable benefits of memorizing scripture and to say, I don't know that I want to live another day without that. I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward. We're going to have a time of invitation. You know, the natural way to move this invitation is to invite anybody that has not memorized scripture to come to the front to confess it, but I don't want to be the first one. So we're going to go in a different direction. I want to invite you in this way. Listen, the gospel that brings us into the faith is the gospel that sustains us in the faith. Let me share with you the gospel if you've never heard it before. We've talked about scripture memorization, but you really need to know what the gospel is. The gospel says that God created all things, and the Bible says that we are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. So that means that every single one of us is a sinner. You are a sinner, I am a sinner, we are sinners. Now, because of our sins, we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we will spend eternity separated from God, which is hell. If you are a sinner, you will go to hell. The terrible news is that we're all sinners, but God doesn't want us to die in our sin. So he sent his only son to be born of a virgin. And then that son, his name is Jesus, he lived a sinless life and then he died on the cross. Because he was sinless, he didn't die for his own sins. Because he was sinless, he could die for your sins and my sins. He took our place on the cross. After a number of days, do you know how many days? 3. You've heard the story? Good. After 3 days, what happened? He was resurrected from the grave. Now, in his death, he paid the penalty for sin. In his resurrection, he paved the way for life. In his death, he paid the price that you owed for your sin, but in his resurrection, he paved the way so that we could live forevermore. And the Bible says very clearly that if you will believe that Jesus died for your sins, and if you will confess him as Lord, which means surrendering your life to him, then you can be saved. And so, friends, I want to tell you, before you memorize scripture, would you make the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Would you make the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I believe that anytime we present the gospel, someone who hasn't received Jesus is beginning to experience conviction, some nudging, some pulling. And probably there's someone here. I don't know if you're in the front or in the back or even in the balcony. But what I do believe, I believe that you're hearing the gospel and you're sensing the Holy Spirit saying, you're not right and you need to get it right. Friends, I want to tell you that right here, right now is the opportunity for you to receive what only God can give you, and that is salvation. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. What matters now is that you do what the Lord is calling you to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you bow your head and close your eyes, I want to lead you in a prayer if I can. If you've, again, we're not talking about what you've done or what people think. I'm talking about right now. Listen, if you sense the Lord saying right now that you need to be saved, that you need to get right with him, that you need to confess your sins, and for the very first time place your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what he's saying to you. But if you're in that situation, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me to the Lord. And this is not a magical prayer. This prayer is not in the Bible. It's simply a way for you to communicate to the Lord that you hear him and that you're receiving his free gift of salvation. So no one looking around, no distractions. If you believe that you need to be saved today and you've never received the free gift of salvation, would you repeat this prayer after me to yourself? Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that I need to be saved. I hear you, Lord, inviting me to receive you. So right now, I receive the free gift of salvation in Jesus. I give you my life and I accept yours. Now listen, I'm going to close that prayer in just a second. When I do, I want you to stand up where you are. If you've made a decision today for Jesus Christ, I don't want you to wait. I want you to step out. I want you to step forward. As everyone is standing and singing, I want you to step out and step forward. Take me or one of the ministers by the hand. If you're coming from the balcony, we'll wait for you. If you're coming from the back, we'll wait for you. If you're coming from the front, we'll wait for you. But would you make that decision public and let us celebrate what God is doing in your life? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Would you respond? Ministers are at the front. The invitation is open.